What were the famous last words of Elvis Presley? What did John Lennon say before he died? Famous last words and idioms this week on
Aprender Inglés con Rezzy Craig.
Hello and welcome. My name's Craig.
My name is Reza.
And together with over 45 years of teaching between us, we're going to help you improve your English and take all of your grammar, vocabulary and pronunciation needs to the next level. Hi, Reza.
How are you, Craig?
I'm good, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better than good. I'm in heaven, quite frankly. I'm in heaven.
Why is that?
I haven't got that much work on at the minute, although that will change. I've been meeting friends, going out. The sun is shining, but it's not too hot. What more could I ask for in life?
Yeah, we're lucky. We're very, very lucky. And we're happy to be talking to you on Aprender Inglés con Rezzy Craig. Before we begin with our famous last words, we've got a voice message from Alba Roma from Denia, which is quite close to us here in Valencia, along the Costa Blanca. So let's listen to Alba and see what she says about talking to your baby in English.
Hello, Craig and Reza. My name is Alba Roma from Denia, Spain. I only want to tell you how useful I find your podcast. I have a 6 months baby girl, and since I was pregnant, I try to talk English to her. Even my English is not perfect, I think that it will be a kind of advantage for her, and also for me. Because since I talk English to her, I realize that I need more vocabulary, grammar, and of course pronunciation. And this is a very good motivation to keep improving, you know? So I try to listen to you on my everyday walk, with my baby, or while I'm doing housework. Thank you very much for doing it more enjoyable. Bye!
Thank you, Alba, for saying hi to us from Denia. Reza, any comments?
Yes, thanks, Alba. Denia is a lovely town, by the way. I really like it. I've been there a few times. Very good English, and I think it's a great idea. However, I did notice a couple of mistakes in what you said, Alba. I think you forgot to say to with listen to, because you want your baby to listen to you, listen to. And you've been talking to your baby since something. I think you said you've talked, maybe, instead of you've been talking. I can't remember exactly, but I think you forgot to use present perfect for things from the past up to the present. But apart from that, fantastic. Eh? What a great message.
And I'd like to recommend something to you, Alba. A friend of ours, Alex Perdel, has a website called Aventura Bilingüe. It's in Spanish. Alex is a lovely guy, and he's got a project in which he is speaking to his babies in English to improve their English. And I interviewed Alex on another podcast I have called Enclave de Podcast, which you can find at enclavedepodcast.com. Alex Perdel. I'll put a link to that in the show notes over at inglespodcast.com/158. And Alex has a podcast exactly about what you're doing. He speaks about how to use English with your baby, get your baby into an English-speaking world to give your baby that head start, that advantage by speaking to your baby and having activities with your baby in English. If you want to listen to his podcast, you can find it at www.crecereninglés.com/podcast. crecereninglés.com/podcast. And thanks very much, Alba, for sending us your voice message.
Craig, have you ever had a bilingual adventure? Una aventura bilingüe yourself?
I don't really know what to say to that. I've had a few adventures that have been in more than one language. Uh-huh. Have you?
And were they lingual? Did you need your tongue for those adventures?
I did, because it was very verbal.
Oh, I mean,
it was a lot of speaking going on, so I used my tongue a lot in both languages.
A lot of linguistics happening. Okay.
Exactly.
I see.
We have an iTunes review, and I'd like to say thank you to Aldropa from Spain, who said on iTunes, thank you. This is the best podcast I've ever found. Good work. It's very helpful. I found you 3 weeks ago, and now I'm addicted. Reza, you know what that means, don't you?
Yeah. He's a, what was the word we said?
He's an air, or she maybe, an aircoholic.
An aircoholic. Remember that?
We A-I-R-C, aprender inglés con Reza y Craig, aircoholic. So thank you, Adropa from Spain, for your 5 stars on iTunes and your iTunes review. Also thanks to Francesca Roberta CB, who also was kind enough to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks a lot. Next, we have a voice message from our friend Gabriel from Tijuana. Do you remember Gabriel, Reza?
Yes, I do. Hi, Gabriel.
Let's see what Gabriel says about the famous Mexican Wall episode, which was back in inglespodcast.com/149, when we spoke about the wall that is proposed to divide the USA and Mexico. Let's see what Gabriel says about that.
Hi, Reza and Craig. This is Gabriel from Tijuana. Recently, I hear your podcast related to Mexican Wall. I disagree with that because here in Tijuana, we have 2 metallic walls. All my life, I see that and I don't like it. It's not good. The 2 cities is important. The translate person between cities, because here in Tijuana we have many companies from USA, companies from Asia, from Europe, from Canadian. We have a lot of people crossing the border. It's the biggest border, I think, in the world. And I don't like another wall. Okay. I hear you will come to San Diego. I wish you can have opportunity to visit Tijuana. It's a nice city too. See you next time. Bye bye.
Well, thank you very much, Gabriel. That's a very interesting message you're giving. What did you think, Craig?
Well, he's not disagreeing with us, is he? He's not disagreeing with what we said in episode 149. He's disagreeing with the wall, isn't he?
Yes, which is what we proposed, that you'd agree or disagree. So he's disagreeing with the wall, not with Craig and I.
And he's disagreeing with a message that Edgar Ubaldo sent us back in episode 149. So if you want to listen to Edgar's message, go back to inglespodcast.com/149. Did you hear anything you'd like to help Gabriel with regarding his English?
Yes, Gabriel, we could understand you perfectly. However, there were a couple of things which were slightly inaccurate. That means not 100% correct. You said that you hear, but it would be correct to say you listen to our podcast. When you hear something, it means that you didn't really plan to do it. It was a noise that you just happened to hear. You didn't plan it. But I presume you plan to listen to our podcast. I presume you just don't hear them in the background and think, oh, what's that? No. So you listen to our podcast. You plan to do it. Another thing you said is you don't like another wall. We understand you. But what you mean is that you wouldn't like another wall.
Conditional.
Yeah. So you said, I don't like the wall, another wall, but you should have said, I wouldn't like the wall, Craig. What's wrong with that?
Because the wall doesn't exist. So if you don't like it, it has to exist for you not to like it. But if it's a hypothetical wall that has not been built yet, then if it were built or if it was built, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna even simplify that and just say wouldn't is for if you're imagining a particular situation, whereas the present simple I don't like is in general. Like, I don't like going to discos, but I'll go tonight because my wife really wants me to. So I'll go, but I don't like going. Mm-hmm. But if my wife asked me, I would always say yes in that specific search situation. So don't like and wouldn't like is not the same.
Thank you very much, Gabriel, for your message. And don't worry, if Reza and I do go to Tijuana, and I would love to visit Tijuana, you will be the first person we'll contact. Definitely.
Thanks for your offer.
Our final voice message this week is from Josep from Barcelona. Hi, Josep. Now, he sent us a message recommending a website called The Phrase Finder. That's phrase, P-H-R-A-S-E, and you can find that at www.phrases.org.uk. Let's listen to Josep and see what he says about The Phrase Finder.
Hello, Greg. Hello, Risa. How are you guys doing? This is Josep from Barcelona. I was listening to your last podcast yesterday evening, and I must say I'm really keen on this part of the English learning, which is the learning of idioms and sayings and stuff like that. I think it's one step forward from the basics, let's say. So I commented that because I don't really remember how, but a few weeks ago, I came across a website. I don't know, maybe I was looking at your podcast or listening to it. I don't remember, but the website is www.phrases.org.uk, phrases.org.uk, and it's called the Phrase Finder. And over there, one can find idioms, sayings, English proverbs and expressions, and a lot of stuff which could be very interesting. I would maybe recommend some of the listeners to have a look if they want to. And by the way, very cute, the Mamen's story. Really cute. So, rainy regards from Barcelona, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Josep, for your message. I like the way you use the phrasal verb came across. I came across this website. I came across this. I found by accident or by browsing, by looking, and I came across an interesting website. Any comments, Reza?
Yes, I also like your use of the word stuff. You said it could be interesting or useful or good stuff. Stuff, S-T-U-F-F, is a very common word with colloquial English, meaning things, without wanting to be too particular. You know, love, friendship, good times, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's buenas.
Just one small thing, Josep. You use the word, the verb, to comment, but you put the stress on the second syllable. You said, I want to comment. Put the stress on the first syllable. I want to comment on, I'd like to comment on what you said.
Yeah, I think he also missed out the preposition on. Mm-hmm. Comment on or comment about as well. By the way, Craig, what is the English word for frase?
Sentence.
Yes.
That's not a common phrase. Mistake, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So phrases.org, phrases, it doesn't mean frases. It means, now, phrase is a part of a sentence. So I've never quite learned the Spanish word for that. I'm not sure if there is a word. A phrase is parte de una frase, mm-hmm. But it's not una frase.
Could it be dicho?
Might be, yeah, maybe
dicho. Un dicho famoso o un dicho, yeah. que gastan la gente normalmente.
Could be that, but it's not. Phrase is not frase. Frase in English is sentence, eh? Don't forget that.
So thanks to Josep's message, that got me thinking. I looked at phrases.org.uk, really liked the website. I thought it was very interesting and very useful if you are learning English. But there was a section on the website that looked at famous last words. So that was the inspiration for the subject of this podcast. The things that famous people have said just before they die. A little morbid, perhaps a little, I don't know, not very happy, but I think quite interesting to look at some famous things that people have said. Our first one is by a gentleman called Kurt Cobain. Have you heard of him, Reza?
Yes, I have heard of that famous junkie gentleman.
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain, of course, died of an overdose, famously.
And he said, before he died, it's better to burn out than to fade away. What do you understand from that? It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Well, he really put into action what he thought, because he died of a drug overdose, sadly, because he was a very talented and a brilliant musician. And I like a lot of his music. But he just wanted to have a really good time and live life to the full. That's a common expression in English. To live life to the full, F-U-L-L. To really enjoy everything the maximum possible. So he preferred to do that than to live a mediocre long life. He decided to just live a lot young and, if necessary, die as a result.
So then that's the question, isn't it? Would you prefer 10 years of a fantastic, exciting, fun-filled life with like travel and whatever makes you happy, doing fantastic, interesting things, or maybe 30 years of mediocre, boring life?
Mm.
What do you think?
A compromise. I mean, Kurt Cobain died at under 30. He was only like 27 or something, wasn't he? That's a bit young, no?
Yeah, maybe he lived life too, maybe he burned out too quickly. Maybe he lived life too much in the fast lane. If you live life in the fast lane, like a car drives in the fast lane, then you just go fast and you do anything and you do not care about the consequences.
Do you think, Craig, people in general live more in the fast lane now, people in general, compared to 50 years ago?
I'm not sure. I know that the younger generation, like the 20 to 30 year olds, from what I see, are living a much healthier life than I did. When I was 20 to 30 years old, I drank a lot. I was a smoker. I didn't exercise that much. And now I notice people of the same age, they're going to the gym. They're not heavy drinkers. They're not heavy smokers. And younger people are living a much healthier life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our next famous last words comes from Elvis Presley. I'm sure you've heard of him. Born in 1935, died in 1977. And he said, towards the end of his life, at the last press conference that he gave, what's press conference? Press conference in Spanish. Rueda de prensa? Rueda de prensa. Yeah. So among those words that he said in his last press conference was, I hope I haven't bored you. Were you an Elvis Presley? Are you an Elvis Presley fan?
I like some of his songs, but I don't think he's the king of rock and roll, as his fans claim. I think there are other people who are just as good. For example, a guy who died very recently. Chuck Berry.
Yep.
For me, is much more important than Elvis in the history of pop and rock.
Mm-hmm.
But he just wasn't as famous.
Yeah, I agree. His famous last words, though, just before he died, he took an overdose of drugs, as Reza said, and said to his fiancée, I'm going to the bathroom to read. And then he died.
So that's two musicians so far who've died of a drug overdose. The good news is the third one didn't die of a drug overdose. But maybe it's not such good news because he was assassinated, which is possibly worse. Who have we got next, Craig?
John Lennon from the Beatles, 1940 to 1980, only 40 years old when he died. What were his last words?
I'm shut, which was quite accurate.
Very sad. Poor old John. My sister's a huge, huge fan of John Lennon. Love his music, loved his politics. Very sad. I'm shot, said John Lennon just before he died. So away from music now, we're going into politics. Have you heard of John Quincy Adams?
I hadn't until we prepared for this podcast.
The sixth president of the United States. President number six, 1767, died in 1848. What did he say just before he died?
This is the last of Earth. I am content. Very profound.
quite nice. I think if you can say that just before you die that you're content, I think that's probably one of the nicest fulfilling things you could say. Back to music, Frank Sinatra. Are you a Frank Sinatra fan?
I am. I quite like Frank Sinatra. What about you?
I do. I like him very, very much. Apparently, he died just after he said, "I'm losing it."
And he lost his life.
But of course, he did it his way.
Craig, the next one is from Siddhartha Gautama. What might people know him as?
AKA, which that abbreviation means also known as Buddha, the Buddha, approximately living from 563 BC, which is before Christ, to approximately 483 BC, before Christ. And he apparently said, "Work hard to gain your own salvation." What do you understand from that?
That if you work hard, you'll be saved for the afterlife, for the life after death. That's what I understand.
Yeah. In Buddhism's case of reincarnation, I suppose. He also said, "Behold, O monks, this is my advice to you. All component things in the world are changeable." Now, monks are monjes, and behold, how would you explain that? Look, pay attention.
Pay attention, yeah.
Yeah. Any comments? People don't like change, do they? People do not like things that change. But all component things, every single thing in the world changes.
Yes, of course they do. The only certainties in life are life and death. The bit in the middle is unclear.
The next one I put for you, Reza, because I know you're a big fan of George Orwell.
Oh, I am a big fan of the writer George Orwell, yeah.
Did you know this, that he said before he died, "At 50, everyone has the face he deserves"?
Yeah, I'd heard that before, and I like that. And interestingly, he died just before he reached 50, so he didn't have to suffer from his own criticism, I guess. He was exempt.
But what do you think that means, everyone has the face he deserves?
I imagine he was saying that by that age, 50, what you see is what you get, which is another common expression in English. What you see is what you get. What the person looks like physically probably is a good indication of what their personality is like. And at the age of 50, you're not really going to change much more.
So if you live life in the fast lane like Kurt Cobain and you have a life full of sex and drugs and rock and roll, then your face reflects the life you've lived, yeah?
Yeah, but at 50, not before. You've got time to change before that. But Mick Jagger's not going to change. His face is stuck that way now because of the sex, drugs and rock and roll. He's not going to change.
Leonardo da Vinci, a very modest quote before he died, he said, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have."
Wow, what modesty from one of the most important inventors, scientists, philosophers, artists of the history of Earth. Wow.
Sounds very much like a perfectionist.
Yeah. Craig, our listeners might not be so familiar with our next famous person, Spike Milligan. Who was Spike Milligan?
A very famous British comedian, television star and radio personality. He lived from 1918 and died in 2005. And famously on his tombstone, on his grave, he says, it's written, "I told you I was ill." Te dicho que estaba enfermo. Which apparently the place where he was buried, and I can't remember exactly where he's buried, but they had to write it in Latin. Did you know that?
No.
Because they could not write something that was that comical in a church graveyard. So it's written in Latin on his tombstone.
In case it offended some people.
Exactly.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's really, really funny.
Me too.
Because you will be remembered for eternity as, you know, someone who joked about your own death. It's brilliant.
and it fits his personality. The next quote we have from someone you probably will have heard of, Sir Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England during the Second World War. His last words were, "I'm bored with it all."
I guess he was lucky then. He didn't have to wait much longer to get away from it all.
Sounds like he wasn't very happy with life. Sounds like he was ready to die. Alfred Hitchcock, the famous film director, what did he say when he was dying?
He said, "One never knows the ending. One has to die to know exactly what happens after death." Although Catholics have their hopes. So the last bit, "Catholics have their hopes," was kind of a slightly sarcastic, funny way to end it.
And it sounds though he wasn't particularly religious, having a dig at the Catholics there. To have a dig means to play with, a soft insult perhaps, just to antagonize or to tease the Catholic religion.
To tease is like to provoke.
Yeah, to provoke. Exactly.
I'm sure a lot of people will have heard of Laurel and Hardy.
Maybe not the younger people.
True, maybe not, but certainly listeners of our age all over the world. But you won't have heard of those words, Laurel and Hardy. You will probably have heard of El Gordo y El Flaco, which is what they were called in Spanish.
True.
Laurel and Hardy in English. What did Stan Laurel say? Craig.
Well, he was the skinny one, wasn't he? The skinny one. He said, "I'd rather be skiing. I'd rather be skiing."
I often feel like Craig and I are a bit like Laurel and Hardy at times.
Well, I know I'm the fat one.
just because of the role, not because you're fatter. And I'm half expecting Craig to say at any minute to me, "That's another fine mess you got me into." But so far he hasn't said it. Yeah.
That was a typical catchphrase of Laurel and Hardy. Yeah. A catchphrase is a recognized sentence or phrase that famous people say.
Otro lío en que me has metido. Another fine mess you got me into.
From the same kind of era, time period, Groucho Marx from the Marx Brothers, Los Hermanos Marx, his final quip, Q-U-I-P, a quip is a witty remark, a funny, clever remark, something that you say, a quip. When he was dying, Groucho Marx, what did he say?
"This is no way to live," which is brilliant, just before you die. Yeah. You see, he couldn't even resist a joke just before he died. If you Google on internet Groucho Marx, you'll find hundreds of funny quips. Not only his last words, but all his life was full of famous quips.
And if you search for him on YouTube, you'll also find some very, very funny black and white sketches and clips, pieces of films that Groucho Marx made that are very, very funny. And they are still funny, in my opinion, to this day.
One of my favorite Groucho Marx quips, although it wasn't his dying words, was to a woman who was really irritating him at a party. He really did not like this woman. This is in real life. It's not in a film. And he said to the woman, "Madam, I never forget a face. But in your case, I'm going to make an exception."
Ernesto Che Guevara, his famous last words before he was executed, after he was taken prisoner, what did he say?
Well, our translation into English is, "I know you are here to kill me. Shoot. You're only going to kill a man." So what did he mean by that, Craig?
Presumably, he means that you're killing me, but you're not killing what I represent, what I'm part of. You're not killing the movement, the political movement that I am a part of. So you can't kill the idea that I represent. Back to music. What did Johann Brahms say?
Yeah, I put in Brahms because I'm a huge fan of Brahms. Oh, yes, I do.
I didn't
know
that.
Yes, I do like a bit of, you know, high culture from time to time. I've always been a fan of Brahms' music, the classical composer, and I discovered his final words were really nice. He said, "Ah, that tastes nice. Thank you." And then died. Just after he had a small glass of wine. What a nice way to end. Glass of wine, tastes nice, say thank you and die. That's lovely. I like that.
I think to me that emphasizes the special focus on the small things in life. When you have a really nice glass of wine, when you have a special piece of cheese, when you're feeling the wind in your face and you're looking at the sunset, those small things that really we don't appreciate usually on a day-to-day basis. But really, if you do focus on the small things in life, they're incredibly, incredibly rewarding.
And what nice words to end on. Thank you. They would be really nice words to end your life with, wouldn't they? Thank you.
Anna Pavlova, the Russian ballerina who lived from 1881 to 1931. Have you heard of the dessert pavlova?
I certainly have, and I've eaten a few.
I think it's named after her.
It is. And by the way, there's a bit of a disagreement. We've written Russian ballerina. Ooh.
Is that wrong?
Ooh, it's right, but it's wrong. You ask an Australian what they say about that. The Australians claim her as theirs because I think maybe she immigrated there or something like that.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So the Russians say she's Russian. The Australians say she's Australian. They never agree.
Whatever her nationality, what were her famous last words?
Get my swan costume ready.
Brilliant. Swan is cisne, isn't it?
Yeah, cisne. Preparami il disfraz del cisne. And she died. Why would she say that, Craig?
Maybe she's ready to go on stage or she wanted to experience the pleasure of dancing on stage for the last time. Get my swan costume ready.
I imagine it's a reference to also to Swan Lake, the famous ballet.
Yeah.
Perhaps the most famous ballet.
Dylan Thomas, the famous Welsh poet from 1914, died in 1953. Famous alcoholic, very good poet. His last words, I've had 18 straight whiskies. I think that's the record. And then he died, obviously, from alcoholic poisoning or something similar. But he was a famous alcoholic.
The next one is another Marx, but it's not one of the Marx brothers. This time it's the German philosopher Karl Marx, the founder of Marxism, I suppose, said when asked by his housekeeper, that's a person, usually a woman, who looks after a big house for a person with quite a lot of money. When he was asked by his housekeeper what he wanted his final words to be, he said, go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough.
That's very good. Yep.
So he refused to give famous last words.
So some famous last words of quite famous people. But Reza, what would you want your famous last words, maybe not famous, but what would you want your last words to be?
I think I'm going to go along with Brahms, the composer's. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd quite like my words to be thank you. And you?
Yes, depending on who I was with at the time. But yes, probably thank you, maybe appreciation of something. I just, more than saying something, I just like to feel content, just to feel happy, I think, just before I die. And how would you like to be remembered?
I don't really know. As more or less a decent person, I'd be happy enough with that. I don't know about the details, but if people thought, yeah, he was a decent person, he wasn't bad, I'd be happy with that. And you?
Yeah, very similar. So sometimes I try to imagine my funeral. I know that's quite depressing and sad, but
quite morbid.
It is. But what would people say, people who knew me, what would they say after I died about me? I mean, usually people say, yeah, he was a fantastic guy, and they say things about you that maybe aren't true. But I think I'd like to be remembered as someone who helped people, who didn't do any harm and tried to do some good things in life.
Craig, if you could leave a moral will is a testament, what would be in it? What advice would you like to pass on to people?
Like, as I said before, I think I'd like people to appreciate life while they've got it, appreciate the small things in life, not to hurt people, not to do any harm in the world, to give love and to really appreciate the small things in life. Maybe it's a fresh piece of bread or walking on the beach and enjoying the sunshine. Just appreciate the small things in life. That would be my advice to anybody. What about you?
I think the same. Yeah, I couldn't put it better myself. I agree with everything you say. well, if some of you are thinking about getting a private teacher, a one-to-one teacher, a native speaker, we think you should consider iTalki. iTalki is an online service, so it's very convenient. It's also very affordable. In fact, you can find your own price, because on iTalki, they have a wide range of teachers at different prices according to their experience and their qualifications. So you find out a teacher who might interest you, and you can find out when they're available. They have a timetable, because remember, they might be on the other side of the world. All you need is Skype and an internet connection. And in fact, to get started, if you go to inglespodcast.com/italki, that's I-T-A-L-K-I, they will give you about $10 in free credits to get started. So your first lesson can be free. So give it a go. Craig and I would like to thank iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig.
Continuing with the theme of phrases and famous last words, on the same website that Josep suggested, there were some interesting idiomatic phrases. So we'd like to share a few with those to finish the podcast this week. Put the cart before the horse. What do you understand from that, Reza? Put the cart, C-A-R-T, before the horse.
Well, since the cart is like the el carro, so it's reverse the accepted or logical order of things. Because normally the horse goes before the cart, right, when it goes down a road. So imagine you do the opposite, like eat dessert before the main course, or you decide what to wear to a party before you've been invited to the party.
Yeah, it's kind of putting things back to front, isn't it? It's reversing the order, back to front.
Craig said the useful expression back to front. Other related expressions are upside down, in other words, inverted, or topsy-turvy. Topsy-turvy, when things are not in the order they should be in. Or inside out, when the bit which you usually don't see is visible outside and the bit you normally do see is not seen. Like if you put your clothes on inside out, imagine there's a picture on your t-shirt. Well, if you put it on inside out, people can't see the picture because it's touching your skin instead of on the exterior.
Another useful expression is to get off scot-free. Someone gets off scot-free, that's S-C-O-T. That means they're completely free from any obligation or any penalty or any harm or fine or anything like that. Then they escape. For example, the bank robbers got off scot-free.
Nothing happened to them, right?
Exactly. And it's nothing to do with Scottish people. It's not Scot as in Scottish. Apparently it comes from not paying your taxes. Back years ago, hundreds of years ago, the expression to pay your taxes, if you don't do it, then you get off scot-free.
Craig, I think you should introduce the next expression.
The next one we have is take the mickey.
Ah.
To take the mickey, which means burlar in Spanish, to tease or to make fun of something. Have you heard that expression before, take the mickey?
I certainly have, yeah.
Did you know it comes from Cockney rhyming slang from London?
No. How does it work?
Well, apparently, take the Mickey Bliss rhymes with P-I-S-S, which is a similar expression, mas grosero, to take the P-I-S-S. If you take that, then you are teasing or making fun of someone. And take the Mickey Bliss rhymes with P-I-S-S. If you want to revise and practice some Cockney rhyming slang, you can find a podcast about that on inglespodcast.com/105. So, sorry to disappoint you, Reza. No connection with Mickey Mouse.
Oh. Craig, back to square one. What does that mean?
Back to the beginning, to start again. You start doing a project, you start working on something, it doesn't work, there's something not quite right, then you completely clean everything, change, clean the board, and go back to the beginning, back to square one.
Craig, when was the last time you felt over the moon?
This morning, when I woke up and I realised we were podcasting, I felt over the moon, very, very happy or delighted? When was the last time you felt over the moon?
A couple of weeks ago when I met a very good friend in Alicante.
Okay. And you were over the moon?
Over the moon to see that friend.
Ecstatic. And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us or an idea for a future episode? Send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can reach us by audio on speakpipe.com/inglespodcast, or you could send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, that's belfastreza@gmail.com.
And remember, if you would like more detailed show notes on our website, you can go to patreon.com/inglespodcast and join our group of wonderful sponsors, who are Nicole, Anna, Pedro, Maite, Lara, Maria, Sara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Cori, Mariel, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Manuel, and our new sponsors, thank you very much, Agus, Manuel, and Nestor García Mañez. Thank you very much for joining our group of sponsors. Remember, we have a free job interview download for you if you are part of our Patreon program, and we intend to put more free material for you very soon on our Patreon page for our sponsors.
We'd also like to thank Arminda from Madrid, who has been transcribing what we say. She's been doing transcriptions of some episodes, which are 131, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, and 139, and 140. You notice I didn't say 132, but don't worry. Alberto Gomez from Granada has transcribed 132.
He's got you covered. He's got your back.
So thanks to Arminda and Alberto.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much for your time and your contribution. If you'd like all of our episodes transcribed, join our Patreon program at patreon.com/inglespodcast. And we look forward to seeing you next week on the podcast, in which we'll be speaking about José's true story. Thank you for joining us. It's goodbye from Reza.
And goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
I'm Roadrunner. And your Coyote Bill, whatever he's called. And I've just bought a rocket from Acme and fired it at you. And what do you know? I missed you by about half a second. And now it's going to blow me up, as usual. And I'm going to fall down the canyon.
And in the dust. We're recording, by the way.
Okay. And somehow I'm going to survive that fall of about a mile.
This might make it into the post show.